And you are now tuned into another episode of Intellectually Petty Radio, brought to you by M3S3 Clothing. Men make moves and suckers stand still. And as always, on the mighty, 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 mighty Nerve DJs Radio Network. Come on, man. Legend after legend after legend after legend. And today is absolutely no exception. We got Love and Marriage, Detroit's own, Star Factory Media's own, Brandon and Christina Smith. Glad to have you. How you guys doing?
Hey, good. How are you?
Thanks for having us.
Oh, it's an honor and a privilege. How's the family?
Everybody's good.
Can't complain.
Did you guys design that room?
Yep.
That is beautiful.
All his work.
Thank you.
Yeah, I love that. The ceiling is yo. My pops used to be into remodeling homes and shit like that. And man, God rest his soul, but he would love that.
Thank you. Yeah, kind of came together pretty nice.
Guys still in the penthouse?
Nope.
That was so dope. And I watched the whole season, man. And literally, I watched it the whole season. And one day, I was glued to the TV. Yeah, man. I did binge it. You know, me and my wife sat up here and screamed at the TV, talked shit.
I think that was what a lot of people did.
how does it feel?
It's a little surreal. Just because, you know, season one, it's like your life doesn't really change that much, but you know, still people still stop you on the street and treat you, you know, like a celebrity or whatever. But it's once you're done filming, it's just like your life just goes right back to the same stuff. So, it's still cool.
I enjoyed it. I enjoyed filming. It made me a little anxious at times because you never really know what you're walking into. They kind of give you your schedule and you just kind of show up. You don't know who's going to be there. You don't know what type of conversations you guys are going to have to engage in. So I think that always leaves like a little anxiety. But it's kind of cool having cameras follow you around. You kind of get used to it at first. It's, oh my God, there's cameras in my face. And then next thing you know, a week goes by and you ain't thinking about them cameras. You got to get your point across. You like, so what? They become like a part of your family. So it's really cool. Like you said, it's surreal. So
do you get to decide where the cameras stop?
No. I mean, if we decided to just walk away and walk out of the room, I guess we would end the scene or try to. Production probably wouldn't be having that, but no, it's like completely orchestrated by production.
Yeah, but everything is scheduled. It's not like the real world where the cameras are just rolling. Everything is scheduled, so it's not like 24/7 where they're just following you everywhere.
Oh yeah, no, no. Oh, we schedule. Okay. Yeah, we get our time. We get a schedule. Sometimes those scenes can go for up to like 4 to 5 hours. Maybe you have 2 or 3 scenes in a day, but it's not like. Like you said, it's not like constant, like a camera is like in your house with you all the time, driving in the car with you all the time. No.
And you guys had tried this before this season, correct? And it didn't pan out the way he wanted it. And you guys came back. And that's when you added Anthony and the doctor, correct?
No. So we were part of the original... Like, we were part of the original cast that they wanted. And then right before, like 2 months before we were scheduled to start shooting, two of the original couples bailed out. So then they decided to put, they decided to shoot DC ahead of Detroit. So while DC was shooting, they were recasting, and that's when we brought on Anthony and LaToya, and we brought on Kobe and Russell.
Any regrets in those, in those moves?
Yes.
Why? Oh my God! What a question.
I mean, well, I watched the whole show. I would have regretted bringing on Russell and Kobe, given the fact that you guys were like really, like y'all was legitimate friends. Mm-hmm. And it seems to not end good.
I regret both decisions for different reasons. Like you said, I regret bringing on Russell and LaToya because like... Russell and Kobe. Because, like, yeah, like that, you know, those was the homies. Like, you know, that was my, you know, Russell was my dog. And it just, you know, it's just the friction from the show, it got in between us. And then I regret bringing on Anthony and LaToya just because I didn't know Anthony was cut like that. And so, you know, he can go somewhere.
Oh, okay. I had the honor of interviewing him last week. And from what he said, it was just basically all business. Like, he didn't take anything personal, and he would love to even go forward and make money with y'all. Just telling you what he said.
Well, I mean, you know, I didn't bring in Anthony's ops, you know, from off the, you know, I didn't bring in Anthony's ops to the show. I didn't take people and pit people against Anthony, like the publicist. We didn't do none of that to him. So of course he would do it again. Anthony did all that to me and Christina. So and most of the stuff he did off camera, right? Like a lot of the stuff that you saw on the show, you didn't actually see it. Like you didn't see the conversation between me and him about the publicist. You didn't see a conversation between him and her. You know, like him and the publicist. You didn't see the meeting of them planning this showcase without me. So it was just like he was confusing the producers because I think his version of like drama is hating. You know what I'm saying? Like if that's what your business is, bro, then like you can say that, you could take that to somewhere else because we don't have to be entertaining by hating on each other. Like, it doesn't have to be that way. You know what I'm saying? Like, we can be entertaining by building together, having, you know, friction with that, but we don't have to be hating on each other. So, yeah.
So from a business standpoint, there's no part of you that said that however he got down is helped y'all get another season.
You cut off. Hello. Didn't hear your question.
I'm sorry. What I was saying from a business standpoint.
Can you hear us?
I can hear you now. And it is getting a little grainy. I'm not sure if that's me. I don't think so because I still look the same. But can you guys hear me?
We're good now. We can hear you. Yeah.
Okay. So you don't see, I guess my question is, so you don't see any advantage to his hating from a business standpoint?
I would say the first half of the season, it was cool because he was like a master instigator, and that's fine. That's fine. Like, you know, instigating some stuff is cool, but when you going and telling a publicist that I like a complete fabricated lie where now me and that publicist do not have the same relationship and that publicist has now blocked Christina. No, you know what I'm saying? No, that's not business. That's just pure hating. And I don't think it was a storyline that made the show better. Like, I feel like it confused people, you know, it confused people because he was introducing stuff that was not happening on camera. So, I don't look at it that way.
I'll say that for me, you guys, in the beginning, I ain't like y'all. Y'all grew. And towards the end, y'all were my favorite couple. Am I wrong in that assessment? When you guys look back on it, how did you see you?
That was pretty much the general consensus for a lot of people. I mean, we came in like with our real issues, you know what I'm saying? We wasn't trying to hide nothing.
Yeah.
And so some of those issues made us look a certain way. But yeah, towards the end, it's like we stopped beefing and with each other.
Yeah.
And we had to deal with everybody else coming our way. And that kind of like made us, more favorable in a lot of people's opinions.
Y'all seem to weather the storms together more so than anybody else. Like they were still dealing with issues towards the end.
Most definitely.
But y'all was like, okay, you know what? Like what people didn't like, what I didn't like about you was the studio incident. And I think I probably it's a probably general I felt bad for Christina. And I'm like, dude, I've been a big asshole my whole life. I wouldn't have said that. But yeah, I got through that. I've been an asshole. I've been an ain't shit dude. Like I've been there. But y'all got through it, man, and I was so proud of y'all. What did y'all do? Like behind
Appreciate
the
that.
scenes, was it just talking, or did y'all see something? Or is that just how y'all are? Y'all can weather anything.
I mean, we both are believers in the Lord, and so we make sure that that's like number one, and then through that we always able to pull through. But while we were filming, it was just like after that episode four, where we legit not speak for 4 straight days after that, I was just like, yo, we about to get divorced in front of everybody, in front of all these viewers. We're gonna have to pull it together. So I know I made a conscious decision to really start trying to make my marriage my top priority, whether them cameras was on or off. And so we kind of worked it out.
How'd y'all meet?
We met on Twitter in 2011.
10.
We followed each other in 2010.
Yeah.
We met, like we had a conversation in 2011 on Twitter, January 2011, and we were married by June 2011. So
Damn,
we
them
had like a
DMs must
six
have been
months.
popping.
Yeah. I mean,
I mean,
know.
it was instant, it was instant chemistry, instant fireworks. We just knew. We knew that we like I knew that she was the one. So we just went ahead and made it happen.
Yo,
Yeah, it
where's
happened
y'all?
quick.
Oh,
It was
the whole the first date shit is like killing the internet right now. Where'd y'all go on y'all first date?
Here we go. We were in Pittsburgh. You came to meet me at
That wasn't a date though. I
that
mean,
course I was taking. We
like
did
we it
go
was the
out. We went out that day.
where?
I don't know the restaurant because we weren't in town.
Man, I don't know, but all I know it was definitely on that list because I was broke.
Anywhere fancy. It was probably equivalent to like a Fridays or something like that.
You know, that's what I try to tell, younger folks is like, actually, from a guy's standpoint, the less you spend on that first date, the more likely you are to have a long-lasting relationship with her.
Agree.
I mean, I don't really, contrary to popular belief, I'm very like I don't want to say low maintenance because I'm not low maintenance. But I definitely am not super bougie to where, you know, I can't experience the average first date. Like, that's not, like, let's just have a good time. Let's talk. Let's get to know each other. And let's eat good. Like, you don't have to take me to, you know, the most expensive chop house in the city. It'll be nice, and we can work our way up to that, but it's not a necessity.
I thought you would be kind of like, we got to go to the 5-star super spot. And
I mean, now, you know, I would expect those things because, you know, you just said it. He's been an a-hole at times, and he owed me. At this point, I done went through everything. You better take me somewhere nice. You better buy me all the nice things. You better upgrade my ring. You better buy me the best cars.
Okay, you caught a little hell too, though. And sometimes we feel unsupported, and I think that was a theme throughout. Well, not just y'all. I think all the men on the show felt a little unsupported when they felt like they gave their all in supporting their spouse. Was there any credence to that?
Yeah,
I'm asking you, Ms. Smith.
Yeah, he's asking you.
I mean, I feel like my support looks different for me than what I think his expectation of support was or is. I feel like when I'm at home with my children all day, I'm raising my children, I'm homeschooling my children, I'm keeping the house, and you're at work from morning until 10, 11, 12 o'clock, midnight. I feel like that's me supporting your dream. Like, hey, this is what I need to do. I need to grind this out for 12 years so we can get over this hump and then be good. So I feel like I'm sacrificing having the marriage I want for him to have the career that he wants. And to me, I feel like that's being extremely supportive because I feel like a lot of times I carry our marriage because he just was too busy. Most women, I feel like, would not stay in a situation like that. So to me, I felt like I was being, you know, extremely supportive. Letting you chase your dream while I'm at home by myself feeling like a single mom.
I feel like most successful entrepreneur husbands be busy.
I understand busy.
And I think most women do stay in those scenarios. But that's just me.
I think personally, that's overlooked in the pre-marriage conversation.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
And then when the topic comes up, by the time the topic actually comes up, it's been a problem before that for a while.
So I think that what a lot of people didn't know was when Brandon and I first got married, I was like a mini Brandon at Star Factory. I was here 24/7 with him. I was vocal training when he couldn't vocal train. You know, I was, you know, helping groom his girl groups. I was styling everybody. I was running all the errands. I was, you know, running the ledgers and the business. And so that dynamic changed once I had my first daughter.
Okay.
And so we were doing this together. Although he was super busy working, I was working with him. So we still saw each other enough.
Yeah.
So just a new dynamic came once we had children, and I don't think we did a good job at adjusting.
Man, kids, they're a beautiful, ugly situation sometimes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. They just are. Like, they change everything, and you really aren't, you don't know who you got until y'all have kids in a lot of scenarios, especially when you're younger, you know, and. Yeah. Yo, y'all got some beautiful kids, though.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, no doubt, man. And the love that both of y'all share for your kids is palpable. And for the record, if nobody's told y'all today, I'm proud of y'all.
Thank you.
I try to make sure I tell our I try to tell our people that, because we don't hear it enough.
Well, yeah, we appreciate that.
Star Factory, how's that going now?
It's going good. I feel like I done worked with it probably about 80% of the singers in this city. Once the pandemic hit, Star Factory was like super popping before the pandemic. And it kind of changed since then because like this is a very intimate thing, singing to somebody's face. So like with COVID, like it took a big hit. But that's like when the pandemic hit, I started like consulting the artists, which is what I should have been doing like some way earlier, because I started helping them with the after part of Star Factory. So it's like you come to Star Factory, you become a better artist, better singer, better performer, better songwriter, and then you leave and you go try to figure everything else out on your own. But starting in 2020, I started like a management consulting division where I started helping them, you know, further their brands and engage with their fans and create their content and their marketing campaigns and all that. And a lot of my clients started having way more success. And so we're doing that now. And so we got a lot of artists who are like winning out here. Small wins, but they're eating, you know what I'm saying? Some of these artists are able to quit their jobs and really do this on a full-time level. And that really is, that's like huge to me, where I can take a client and help them be able to quit their job off this music stuff. So that's my whole mission. That's my whole mission.
When is Christina's album dropping?
We're doing vocal training right after this, so it actually might be a thing.
It actually might be a thing.
Yeah.
You see how he does me?
What? I'm just saying.
He just can't help himself. What does that mean? Actually, might be a thing.
Okay, go ahead and sing for the people. Go ahead. Go ahead. Show them your. Go ahead. Since you.
Don't play with me.
What?
Go ahead. You're trying to play me.
I'm trying to play you. I'm
it actually to... might be a thing. He said he worked with 80% of the artists here in Detroit. He ain't worked with me. That's absurd.
It is a thing. Go ahead. We got. Why you got the platform? Go ahead. Showcase all that talent.
Wow. Come on, bro. I can't be on your side with this one, man. Why not though?
I didn't say no.
But
you've been married long enough to know, bruh, that not saying yes is a no.
Okay, listen. Stop, Billy. I legit did not think that this is something she wanted to do. When we met, she had 3 jobs.
Why do you always have to say that?
Because you did. And none of them were pertaining to music or nothing. Like... And so she claims that when we got married and she moved to Detroit, that I told her that I didn't marry no artist and I don't want no artist. I don't remember saying that. If I did say it, the main reason I said it is because I just didn't think that she was still on that wave.
Like, do you tell clients when they show up at Star Factory for a consultation that?
I tell them what I expect out of them. Right?
Why are you going to tell me what you expected out of me when I said I wanted to get back into music?
Because I didn't
Instead of not saying, it doesn't
see,
matter what you see.
I didn't see the undying passion.
But you don't do that for your client. You don't do that when they come to Star Party. Even if you don't see the undying passion, you don't turn them away.
Because they be paying your bill. They be paying your car note.
Well, how about this? Just, you know, I'm just a random bystander in the conversation. But how about 4 songs?
A little EP?
A little EP, yes.
I can get with that. You down with that? Four songs?
I'm down. I've been down. I've just been waiting for you to show up.
Why? Okay. Why are you waiting on him, though? I'm just curious. Why are you waiting on him?
Well, I was waiting on him. I've actually started moving around without him. So
okay.
If he wants to jump on, he can. But the train will still go with or without him. I would love to work with my husband, of course. But, you know, I can't.
How many songs you got?
I can't put my dreams on hold because he doesn't see my passion.
I kind of see, to be fair, I kind of see what he means. It's like if you have an artist, you have somebody that comes to you and they've written 100 songs or they've got 100 of their own tracks. Working with them becomes easier for you because you're feeding off of the hunger they already have. If somebody comes to you and says, well, I just want you to do everything, it makes you pause a little bit because you don't know how they're going to respond in the future.
So ask him how many artists have come to him who had a deal on the table with Sony Records.
You had a deal on the table? Well, yeah, that's bad, like, bro.
Like way before I met her.
And why did I stop doing music?
Because all these producers wanted to boink you.
Okay. So if I finally am married, I'm finally married to a producer and I feel safe and I'm like, okay, I shelf music because the men out here are grimy in the industry. I shelved it. Because of that, I didn't feel safe. So when your husband is a producer and you feel safe here and you finally are like, okay, I can really do this and it's in a safe way.
You did not verbalize that to me. The way that you was talking, like that was your past. That was it. I just thought you was done with that life. I mean, being an artist is like one of the hardest jobs in the universe. And what I literally told my clients this last night. I was like, if you're not a little bit delusional, then you should not be an artist. Because you have to have delusional.
Oh, I'm delusional.
Wow, she looks just like you, bro.
Yeah.
Oh my God, it's like he spit her out. You know what? The communication never stops. You can always be better at communicating. You know, Now y'all done got better with the kids. Y'all done got better with you know y'all careers or where y'all at in the marriage. Now it may be time to get better at becoming partners again outside of the house.
Yeah.
Seems like you guys were great before the kids as far as she had her role, you had yours, but y'all was all in the same car, on the same highway, same destination.
Yeah,
she can sing. She can really, really, really sing.
Yeah, she definitely can.
Thank you. Thank you, too.
Well, I want to hear some shit. I'm just saying. I'm rooting for you, Christina.
Thank you. So I really am working towards recording. You know, becoming like this full-blown artist that is traveling the country doing shows everywhere and on everybody's big stage. That's not necessarily my goal. I definitely do want to put good music out, though. I want to put good music out there.
Okay.
I'll perform here and there, but
you will?
Yeah, for sure.
Okay. Let's get it then.
Please. I'm 2.5 hours away. Invite me. I'll show up and
okay,
support.
So when I have my first show, I'll make sure you're there.
If that's okay with him.
You want Sandusky or something?
Huh? No, I'm in Cleveland.
Oh, okay.
Oh, Cleveland.
Yeah. I grew up in Detroit. I was born and raised there, but you know, I moved here some years ago. Still regretting that, but
Okay.
anyway.
You regret. I mean, I feel like Cleveland and Detroit are kind of like similar, no?
No.
Okay. I'm
Completely different. Just like I never met a person that never left their neighborhood until I moved to Cleveland.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Like Cleveland, like Detroit, the freeways make everybody so much closer and so much more accessible. Here, the freeways were an afterthought, so they're like on the outskirts of town, except for downtown. So people don't tend to like it's people here that have never been to the West Side and they're 50.
Oh, wow.
Right.
Wow.
And that's not
Well,
like an isolated incident.
I mean, I don't know nothing about the East Side, even though I've been there, but I couldn't tell you nothing. Like
I
that
mean,
skating rink, I never even heard of that skating rink before we got there that day.
And
that's supposed to be a
I
staple
expressed my
in
concern about going to that skating rink to Anthony, because that was a wild ass move.
It
I've been
definitely
to that
had one of
skating
those.
rink.
It had one of those lights on it. What's that light for? Like
Green Light Project.
the Green Light Project? Does that mean it's like a high crime area or something?
Yeah, I mean the police are supposed to be watching live.
So when I saw that,
It's
I was like, okay.
on the east side, right? Yeah, I remember I went to that skating rink. This is when I was a teenager. And just how bad this place has been and how long ago it's been bad. I seen two girls beat up 15 girls. I never forget that. Yeah, it was two sisters and they didn't say shit. These girls call themselves gonna jump them. And they chased them out the skating rink. These girls didn't run. And when the girls surrounded them, they just went back to back and put the beat down on all them chicks. Like the whole crowd was like, I'm telling you, if we'd have had cameras back there, camera phones back then, you talking about going viral? I ain't
That
never
one
seen no
went
shit like
viral for
that.
sure.
Yeah,
Wow.
it was, excuse my language, I'm sorry, I forgot she was there. It was some superhero stuff though. Never forget it. And I'm sorry, we done got so sidetracked off of the show, man. You guys are just adorable.
A good time. We just vibing.
Have you guys talked to Russell and Kobe still since?
I have talked to Russell. We actually went to breakfast. But yeah.
Kobe and I have not spoken, but like you said, him and Russell have, they made plans and went to breakfast recently.
But it was just that one time. It's like the whole dynamic is different now. It's just totally different.
Yeah, I Anthony gave me some of the kind of backstory with the Kobe cat comment because it didn't seem like
What
that
was
big of a
that? What
deal
was
to
the
me.
backstory?
Let's hear it
'Cause if he
because.
said it ain't no telling what truth of it is.
Well, he was saying that you and Russell really were tight, and you know, like I guess you worked for him at one point,
No, he was a
and.
supervisor. He was a supervisor at the job that I worked at.
Okay, that's probably me misremembering it.
No, that's
Whatever
what
the
he
case
tells
may be.
people. He tells people that he worked for Brandon. I mean, Brandon worked for him, and Russell put food on our table when we didn't have nothing.
Yeah,
Okay.
I had a lot. And then when I worked.
Well, moving on.
If he said it could be so many twists and turns and extensions of the truth.
Well, I don't want to get it. I don't want to be messy, you know. But
You're not being messy.
it seemed as though you know the way he was explaining it, and it didn't seem like malice. It just seemed like you and Russell really had a good relationship, and he didn't expect it. Like if Anthony had said that, I don't think he would have taken it the same way as you saying that because of how cool y'all were. Y'all were like actually friends, friends.
Yeah.
But do you, he said Kobe Cat, right? I think everybody's acting like he called her a BITCH.
Like I say, I think it was
Now, granted,
definitely blown out of proportion.
I don't think he should have said it. Yeah, I think it was blown out of proportion. I don't think he should have said it, especially given the how sensitive the atmosphere was at the moment. It was just definitely, he shouldn't have said it. But again, I believe it was blown out of proportion because why is he didn't call you a B? He didn't tell you to die. You know what I'm saying? He didn't say, I hate your guts. You know what I'm saying? It's just like, to me, had he had said something like that, then I can see where all the anger could come from.
I
But
think it
I
was more
also
the
remind people
situation
that
as more so than what he said.
a few
Saying it
scenes,
in front of all those people was different than like if it was just
it
y'all
was just
four.
in front of us. No, it was just us four.
Yeah.
Nobody else was
I'm
around.
trying here. I don't think I
You
would have wanted
are,
to
but it's all good. I mean, I feel like we weren't given any grace, or he wasn't given any grace, or we weren't given any grace, considering that an episode or two prior to that episode, we had an anniversary dinner where Kobe, said, blew up Brandon's spot about him signing this artist. Now, if you wanted to tell me that, that's fine. But to choose to tell me that at that place and time
on our
on our
anniversary.
anniversary was not necessary, but we gave so much grace there. We never held it against them. He didn't hold it against Russell for telling her, and I didn't hold it against her for telling me during that time.
Yeah, that was
We gave a lot of grace. It was just like, okay,
that.
don't worry about it. It's okay. I understand. And we moved on from it.
That was a wild ass anniversary dinner.
It
I'm
just
just gonna be
completely changed the
honest.
whole dynamic of our friendship.
Yeah, it definitely went downhill from there on skates. But I like them as a couple. I like them, and I like you guys. And I hate to see the fact that a 20-year relationship is, I won't say over, but definitely got some huge cracks in it as a result of some cameras. Okay, some cameras and some things that shouldn't have been said.
Yeah, that me and Russell, me and Russell's is 6 years. I've known Anthony for 20 years.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, I get your point though.
But it was
So
still,
there's gonna be another
although he knew
season, though,
Russell for,
right?
I mean, for
Probably.
I'm sorry,
we can't really
y'all kind of
say.
breaking up.
Oh, can you hear us?
Yeah, move the camera
Hear
again
us?
for me though. Can you just move your phone a little bit for me? I don't know, the last time I did that, you did that, it worked so well and got a clear picture. Because we're gonna look back. This will be on Spotify and iTunes and all of that, but the picture will be grainy as hell on YouTube. And as long as we can hear each other, I'm fine with that.
That we were, can you hear us? Are we good
I
now?
can't. Yeah, I
Okay.
hear you.
What I was gonna say was, as long, although Anthony and Brandon have had a 20-year, I can't even call it a friendship. They've known each other for 20 years. Russell and Brandon, that 6 years that they've known each other, they were way more close than, Brandon had ever been to Anthony. So.
Well, the way I explained it to Anthony was like every good show has a villain and a good guy and somebody that vacillates in between both. And you guys were the midway. You guys went from villain to in the good graces. Anthony and the doctor were the villains, and Russell and Kobe were the good guys. And I think that the editors had kind of decided that pretty early on. They decided actually, I don't know, probably like after they probably saw like the third or fourth episode, as far as you guys were concerned. I think Anthony was an easy call early on, and the fact that Russell was like, and I explained this to Anthony, like he was the biggest black guy. They didn't want to make him look like the angry black guy, which I appreciated. So they may and the fact that he was into the church and he was going to school to be a I don't know if it was a pastor or a minister, however you define it. But you know, he was the good guy. And you got to kind of run with those storylines. And it's just sometimes it sucks that people's lives get caught up in the storylines. Mm-hmm. Did she want to say something?
Yeah, how old is she? Huh? Five.
Do you want to say hello?
Hello.
Hi, what's your name? How are you?
What's your name?
Five.
Okay.
Me too.
Nice to meet you. Do you want to say hi for the camera, real quick?
Hi.
No? Okay.
Hi.
We didn't have a sitter, so we figured this would happen at some point.
Okay, so you're like actually really people? You know, you would be the first time.
Yes, we're real people. We have real children. They make appearances.
So how old is your other, the other one?
Britton is eight.
Eight.
Britton is eight.
She hurt her finger, so she's shy today.
Oh, my God.
She's a little sad.
All right, y'all, go in the other room.
Okay.
All right, grandkids older than now. You make me feel so old.
You're probably so, not that much older than me.
Oh, I'm definitely older than you. You're probably 20 years younger than me. at the least. We're not going to go there.
Maybe I just look good for my age.
Well, you know what? I'm not going to ask. But I personally am 51. So do with that what you will. What's the biggest lesson y'all learned about the other person during this experience?
About him?
Uh-huh.
Okay. I think that watching this show back, I could definitely see that he was hurt and felt like I didn't support him. And I didn't hear him. Yeah, I think that, you know, it made me realize that although I'm a good wife, that there's always, you know, room for improvement and growth. And it made me realize that, you know, he's very sensitive to my words and how I speak them to him. And I have a tendency to just say, I'm very blunt. I have a tendency to just say what I want, how I feel, and that's that. And you better understand it because I didn't mean it in a bad way. So if you took it in a bad way, that's your problem, not mine. So I saw myself in that light and I saw his genuine hurt from, you know, like what that did to him over the years. So that was an area that I had to repent to the Lord about and do the work to do better.
Okay. How about you, bro?
And I learned. It's like I didn't learn a lot about her. I learned a lot about just our whole dynamic. I learned that most of how I existed in this marriage is off of like hurt and bitterness. And, but I, you know, like I already knew, and it was reinforced that she definitely has my back and will always have my back. But then, you know, a lot of stuff has happened since then that, you know, you may have to just check on season two, but, yeah,
Yeah, what?
Yeah.
Bruh's just too cool.
I think we're going to be all right.
So if you go back and do it again, like it, start over. I don't mean season two, but it, from the beginning.
Yeah, but just, you know, definitely do some things differently. I would business wise, I would do stuff differently too. Like I don't feel like Star Factory was shown enough. I don't feel like what I do and what we do is shown enough. Mm-hmm. So I would definitely do that more. Like I would pressure them to do more, show more of that. But I'm not gonna say I was excited, but I was like, I put this show as my top priority. So I pretty much took like the whole summer off and to like just have the energy and space to do this show. But if we do this season, if we do a season two, oh no, it ain't gonna be like that at all. I'm gonna still be working
full time. How's the artist doing? The one that you signed that she didn't know about.
I'm sure she's fine. But as far as her career,
it's so crazy.
You know, she didn't live in Detroit. She lived in Austin. So without me being able to babysit her and motivate her and like just stay on her, she just doesn't do a lot. You know what I'm saying? She wasn't doing enough for me to maintain, you know, like helping her out like that. So, it's not a lot going on with that. So, yeah, it doesn't seem to be her plan A.
Okay.
Interesting.
I'm sorry, bro.
Nah, he done shut me down 12
I'm sorry,
years
man.
Ago.
This he was not me, bro. Me it was not me.
He done shut me down 12 years ago because I wasn't passionate enough, but you go and sign somebody and then you learn.
You ever thought that he was scared to lose you?
I think that's what it is. I just need him to be honest about that. Because he definitely said to me, I ain't marrying no artist. I don't want my wife in the studio with no producers all day and night.
Being that you quit for the producer reason, it's a legitimate concern.
I mean, I know how these producers get down. And I know that a lot of these producers could care less about your talent, about you winning, like, and because I mean, I hear it from my clients, and we actually have a problem with that in this city. You know what I'm saying? But see, I started as a producer, but I retired. So I'm not a producer no more. Like, I can't make her beats. I don't do it no more. So I would be, you know, reliant.
You still got
on
hands, bruh. Nobody came and cut your fingers off.
No, like, you got to understand, man. Like, when I do something, I really do it. You know what I'm saying? So if I'm not producing every day and, like, keeping that muscle on, I'm just not going to do it at all. Because I have to be excellent at that stuff. You know what I'm saying? So the stuff that I do every day, I'm a beast at. So I will pull in people who do it every day to, you know what I'm saying, to produce her. But of course, now I'm going to be there. I'm going to be like, you know, she ain't going by herself.
Why not? I'm straight.
So I have to protect you. But I'm okay. You don't even want to be home by yourself. If you want to be in the studio by yourself, go ahead. Go ahead. Go to Greenfield Plaza by yourself.
They would come. We have a studio here at Star Factory. They have to come work with me.
Okay.
Okay.
I get the concern, but I also get the fact that, hey, you know, she's an adult, and I think that she's, you know, I don't think you're gonna put her in a situation with a producer that you feel is shiesty, and you know, I'm outside of like a physical assault type of situation, which I haven't heard too many producers doing. I'm sure it happens. But generally speaking, I think that the innuendos and the, you know, I'll do this for you type of shit, I don't think she's going to get into that. You know, she's fully aware of how to say, nah, bro, I'm cool. I got a check.
I mean, that's why I didn't sign the deal with Sony Records, was because the producer I was working with wanted to be in a relationship with me. And on my way to California to sit down with the execs of Sony, he was like, so when you get here, we're going to be together, right? And I'm like, nah, bro, we're not going to be together. I never told you that. And so he went on this tangent about, you know, you wouldn't have this opportunity if it wasn't for me. I got you here. I got you this far. You mean you're not going to be with me? And I was like, you know what? I'm not coming at all. You can take the deal and do whatever you want with it. Let them know that I won't be there. And that's, I dropped it. So there's nothing that anybody can do to entice me, you know what I'm saying, to get further in my career. Like, that's just not, I don't compromise. So that's not, that would never be an issue for me.
I think you gave him way too much power, though. You can still show up.
I think that, no, I think for me, it was a confirmation that the industry is grimy for women. I mean, that particular person ended up, he's in jail now with 13 sexual assault counts. So, you know what I'm saying? I dodged a bullet.
Okay, yeah, you definitely did dodge a bullet. I understand you had to go with that guy, but you could have still went. Without
well,
that
that's
guy.
Where the that was the so that was the connection, and that was what he was saying. Like, this is my connection. I got you here.
Yeah, but he just he lied. Would be. Your talent.
He
got
could
you
have.
Here.
I maybe didn't know. I didn't have like a manager. I didn't have anybody, you know, like okay. overseeing my career at the time. You know, I trusted him because it was somebody that I had known for a long time.
Damn, so, 13 counts though? Jesus Lord.
Yeah. Ooh.
That brother is not.
So he gonna be in there for a minute. Soon. No.
Yeah, he's probably not having a good experience. Not that people are having great experiences in prison, but of the experiences in prison, going to prison for that definitely makes your experience a lot worse than the average bear.
Mm-hmm.
Which it sounds like he deserves.
You know, and I hate that he's, you know, I hate that he put his life through that. Like, I wish he would have avoided that.
Well, he had 13 opportunities too. And actually, he probably had way more because those are just the 13 counts. Mm-hmm. Which if you got 13 counts, that means you're a serial predator. So there's a lot of women out there that didn't say anything. You know, so, yeah, shout out to you. Like that, you know, and wow, I hate to hear shit like that. So you getting people coming to Star Factory saying the same thing, bro?
Not like assault, but like just holding up their projects, you know, not giving them their masters, their sessions, not finishing their songs until, you know, they kind of agree to do something. And this is people like that they paying too. So it's just crazy. It's wild. So
yeah, that's wild, especially in Detroit. Cause like you would think they brother or their uncle or somebody would show up strapped.
Still could.
Yeah, I think they'd be finding the ones that they can do that too.
I'm curious though.
Everybody.
How Christina? I like. I didn't hear about any of this on the show. Maybe I missed that part.
No, this wasn't really verbalized much on the show. It wasn't shown on the show, at least.
Sisters need to know about this.
We're going to talk about it if there's a season two, for sure.
Yeah, you know, because it's... You hear things, but you don't necessarily, you know, you just hear like so-and-so said so-and-so, but you don't typically hear somebody that went through it because they don't want the repercussions or whatever. And it doesn't, like, you don't really need those people anymore.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that the young sisters coming up definitely need to know what they're getting themselves into and kind of how to maneuver around that and take ownership of their own situation and not have to deal with them. Like, I have come across quite a few sisters now that make their own beats, that are self-contained.
That's amazing. You know?
Yeah, well, technology has made it easier.
Made it easier. I agree. I think that what I would say to a young woman in the music career industry trying to get off on a music career, artistry, is if this is something that God has called you to and is truly in your destiny, God will cover you and he will connect you with the right people. You don't have to sell yourself short. You don't have to sell your body. You don't have to do something strange for some studio time. You don't have to do any of that. Right. You know what I'm saying? Yes. Like, you know, if this is for you, it's going to happen. And you're going to be connected to the right people. Okay. So, you know, I think more women need to believe in themselves and their you know, really what they bring to the table as an artist.
And I'm sorry, I just looked at the time. I'm sorry. If people want to get in touch with you guys, how do they go about doing that?
The DMs. Go ahead. Slide into mine and you step into hers. Mine is Brandon Smith Inc. INC.
Are you listening to yourself, bruh?
He's crazy. It's always like that.
Are you killing me over here?
Step into my DMs. You can step into my DMs at Christina Bowman Smith on Instagram.
You gotta do that special knock too. You gotta knock.
Oh, your fashion game is killing them too, by the way.
Thank you.
I wasn't talking about you.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that.
I love y'all love. Y'all love each other and you can see it. You know?
You can see it?
You actually can, yes.
Yes. Get off my boob.
Oh, my.
See, we doing too much. Not in front of the cameras, babe.
Oh, my God. I'm going to let y'all go enjoy the rest of y'all evening.
Well, we enjoyed our time with you.
It was an honor and a privilege and very, yeah. Yo, y'all was looking mean as hell in the beginning. Like, I'm telling Rita, like, they look like they don't want to be here.
Because you was like, y'all good, y'all okay?
Yeah, I'm like, damn, y'all, like, it looked like y'all just got through arguing or something. And I'm like, damn, I feel like when you knock on your friend's door and they just had a real heated argument and then you walk in and you like, you know what, I got to go check on the kids. You leave immediately.
No,
that's, y'all had that look.
He had literally jumped off of a FaceTime vocal lesson, and I literally just walked into the building. So it was kind of like rushing here, rush the kids to the back, and jump on real quick. So I think we were just like, okay.
Okay,
but
yeah,
no argument.
Looking sketchy there for a second.
Not today,
yeah.
At least. Not today.
Well, that's good. That's good.
Yeah.
Hey, we've all been there, trust me.
We made it through a day.
Anyway, y'all have a good one. If there's anything I could possibly do for y'all in the future, please don't hesitate to ask.
Okay, definitely. We appreciate it.
Appreciate you for having us.
And four songs, bro.
Thank you.
Bye. I'm gonna bug you about those four songs too.
Yeah, I got you. It's coming. Stay tuned and don't forget. You said you'll be at my first show, so
I'll be there. I'll absolutely be there. All right, y'all have a good one, and bye to the babies. That's so adorable right there. Yo, I'm sorry that the visual wasn't the best. It is what it is sometimes with technology. But yo, I thoroughly enjoyed them. What a beautiful couple and a wonderful conversation. Please make sure y'all go support them in anything they're doing. Go look up Star Factory on Instagram. Brandon and Christina both have Instagram pages. And make sure you go check out Love and Marriage Detroit. Russell and Kobe, if y'all out there, would love to have y'all on the show to make the trifecta complete. I got Nuri Muhammad coming up in less than an hour, so I'll be right back. I definitely appreciate y'all time, y'all energy, and support. Shout out to Pretty Ugly and Black Gun Owners Magazine, man. I can't possibly thank you enough. Yo, bruh, I need somebody else, man. Hook me up with somebody else, man. And you know, I got to do something for the community, you know, the Black Gun Owners community. So it's been it's been about a good month, almost two. It's time to put somebody else on the show, man, and keep that energy going with Black Gun Owners across the diaspora. Anyway, on that note, I'll see y'all in a minute. I'm out. This is Jobs. It's been another episode of Intellectually Petty Radio. Y'all have a good one.